Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. We're still talking about how the government of God works in our modern world. It's all about covenant. When God places a people in a land, he has a promise to give us great and good cities which we did not build. But what have we done with those cities? Many of us in the body of Christ have turned away from God's desire for the land and let ungodly politicians ruin the cities with their wicked laws and regulations. God redeemed us to be light in this dark world. We're also called to rebuild the waste places and the uninhabited cities to show the world how our God loves humanity.
Some people are waiting for Jesus to come and Jesus to solve these problems and expecting his kingdom's going to fall out of the sky and to solve all these problems. But the problem is God put us here. As we said, what was our definition of government? Let me read it to you. A government. Okay, we're the government of God here. It says a government is a machinery, a system of machinery, organization, or group of people authorized to manage and control the affairs of a community, state, or nation. So God's kingdom is a heavenly kingdom, but it's operating in the earth as we, the people of God, who have been authorized to manage and control the affairs of God in this earth. So instead of waiting for God to come down, God is waiting for us to get in position to do what he's telling us to do so that we can be blessed the way the word says we can be blessed.
Here is this week's message.
So many of us are going to have to find ourselves repenting in this hour for depending on man. Jeremiah 17:5. Let's go there. I wasn't planning on going there right away, but I hear that in my spirit. And this is because so many of us have gotten in the natural. We're not really functioning the way God wants us to function. But he's trying to correct that in these days because he has a great blessing he wants to bestow on us. Okay, Jeremiah 17:5. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. What that means is if you are so dependent on man, on human beings, on a government in this world, any human being in this world, for your provision, for your protection, for your longevity, you've misplaced it. Because the only person who can guarantee everything that you need to life is God himself. We have functions in the world systems. I understand that. But we're not to be dependent on them because they're made by man, they will fail. As you read here, we just read in scripture. If you take your focus off of God and depend on man's systems, and the Lord has been telling us for weeks now, what did he say? The works of men are over. In other words, the world system, the man's systems are going to fail. So everything has to be guided by the Spirit, by God's Spirit. If it's going to survive these end days, as Jesus said, there will be wars, rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes and all kinds of pestilence, pandemics, more pandemics. But you will not be able to rely on man for your provision, for your protection, even for your healing and deliverance from these things. You're going to have to focus on the things of God. So when God is talking the message today, he says, occupy till he comes. And it's based on a parable that Jesus gave, and it's in Luke chapter 19. And the reason we're going here is because he was reminding me one of the reasons people are dependent on world systems is because we don't believe in God's system. Some people are waiting for Jesus to come and Jesus to solve these problems and expecting his kingdom's going to fall out of the sky and to solve all these problems. But the problem is God put us here. As we said, what was our definition of government? Let me read it to you. A government, okay, we're the government of God here. It says a government is a machinery, a system of machinery, organization, or group of people authorized to manage and control the affairs of a community, state, or nation. So God's kingdom is a heavenly kingdom, but it's operating in the earth as we, the people of God, who have been authorized to manage and control the affairs of God in this earth. So instead of waiting for God to come down, God is waiting for us to get in position to do what he's telling us to do so that we can be blessed the way the word says we can be blessed. Going to Luke chapter 19, I'm going to start at verse 19 because it's telling of something that God said is similar to what's going on in our times. And so he gave the parable of talking about the Son of Man is coming to seek and save that which was lost. Okay. Then he says, after they've heard these things, he spoke a parable because it was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Okay. So they're walking toward Jerusalem. And so he has to give them a parable, say, okay, the kingdom of God is not going to happen right at this moment. So many of you who are out here and you're thinking, well, so much craziness is going on in the world. This has to be in. Jesus is coming back soon. No, there's work to be done. And that's what he says here in this particular parable. They were waiting for the kingdom because the Jews always knew there was going to be a kingdom coming, but they thought it was going to be coming in their time at that moment when they were walking with Jesus after these days. But here's the parable he gave. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return. Okay, I'm going to stop at each point and point out this is Jesus talking about himself. He went away when he was crucified and came on the cross, was crucified, ascended to heaven to get a kingdom, to restore the kingdom that Adam lost in the earth. And he was going to return. That's the promise we have as Christians, that Jesus is going to return. And he said, this is before he left, he said, this is verse 13, he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Okay, put us in that position. Jesus came on the earth, okay, the first time he came to the Jews and to the disciples. And he said, I'm delivering this gospel to you, occupy till I come. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm giving you this commission. Go out and tell people about my kingdom. And that's the commission for each and every one of us who claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior. We're supposed to talk about his kingdom, talk about the goodness of our God and the things he's done for us. We're supposed to be given that testimony until he comes. Now, he's also given specific assignments. As we move in that initial talking about the kingdom, that initial commission, then what happens is he begins to open up doors for us to do other assignments. So here's what he says from here, verse 14. Again, he called his servants before him and gave them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him. I want you to listen to this. And sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Let's just stop right there. I have known so many kingdom kids. I'll call them that because they claim the kingdom. They claim to be God's kids. But how many of them will say, oh, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm anointed. I don't need God to tell me what to do. I can do what I want to do. In other words, I don't want anybody lording over me. I've heard many Christians say, I don't want anybody controlling me. I want to do what I want to do. Then Jesus is not your Lord. Okay, you have to understand. Jesus said, and I think it was John 20, 15 or 21. He said, if you love me, you will do what I say. Let me go right there. So 14:21. I'm sorry. He said here, let's go back up to 14:15. So John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. So he's saying, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Okay. But if you hate him, you don't keep his commandments. Okay. So what he's saying here is that this nobleman leaves to get a kingdom, to return, leaves people in charge, gave him something to do, and said, occupy in that thing I've given you to do until I come. And they say, oh, no, we're going to send a message. We hate you. We will not have you reigning over us. I remember one of the biggest indictments God gave me when he talked about the kingdom and the children of the kingdom or the kids of the kingdom. He says, my people want me to be their savior. They want me to be their redeemer, their healer, but they don't want me to be king. And I remember it happened one day. I heard this group, they were singing in a praise service, and they were singing one of the songs by Fred Hammond. When he talked about the word, and Jesus is the word, when it comes to the part of him being the king, they cut that out of the song. And that's what got this conversation going up with God. I said, why did they take it out of the song? Because he says in the song that he's a noble ruler, he's a king, but they took it out. And the Lord said, because my people don't want me to be king. They want everything. They want the benefits, but they don't want me to be Lord and king over their lives. But he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But again, when we don't do what he says, it's like this man says here, his citizens hated him and sent a message saying, we will not have him reign over us. And that's Jesus talking about himself and people not wanting to listen to him. And it came to pass, verse 15, again, we're reading Luke 19, verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, hallelujah, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money. Okay, in this case, it was money. For us, it might have been an assignment, more than just to preach the gospel. It may have been to start a business, to start a ministry, to start a school, to do certain things with your family or your friends. And he said he came to them, and whatever he'd give them, that he might know how much more they had gained by trading. Okay, Jesus is going to call us all before him to find out, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you increase? God is the God of increase. We saw that with Adam. What did he first thing he said when he blessed him? Be fruitful and multiply. That means increase. Increase such that you can replenish the earth and have dominion. So our whole God consciousness should be whatever he gives us, we need to be increasing monthly, daily, yearly. You shouldn't be in the same place you were a year ago. Some people, you're in the same place you've been 50 years ago, 20 years ago. God did one good thing and you're holding. No, God is a God of increase, because that's what's going to attract people to him, is when we are people of increase. Verse 15, he called them and said, okay, I want to know how much they gained. Verse 16 says, then came the first saying, thou pound has gained 10 pounds. Okay, so he's gained more money. He's got 10 times more. And he said to him, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in the very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Okay, let's stop again here. Now, there's so many people in cities right now. We see a lot of the cities going through a lot, major cities, going through some just devastating times with crime, with the welfare of people, the conditions that they're living in, money, fuel costs, all kinds of crazy things that are going on. But here he's saying, I'm giving you authority over those cities because you were faithful with the little I gave you. People of God, we need to listen to this, because whatever we're faithful in, God will give us authority. And he's saying over cities, over communities. Is not that why Jesus called us to go into all the world, all the sector of the world? It's so that we can have authority over those souls, that they can come to Jesus Christ, and that God can release on them the prosperity, the protection, the things that he has for people. But we have to be obedient.
So now that we know that God has a plan for the cities, where do we start? One place to start is to vote into office only those who have a heart to do things God's way. Sometimes this is not always obvious. There are many wolves in sheep's clothing. The best way is to pray and ask God how to vote. God knows the heart of every candidate, no matter what they look like or what they say. Because man looks on the outer appearance, but as scripture says, God looks upon the heart. Next, inquire of the Lord how you can make a positive impact on your community and your neighborhood. What would he have you do? Jesus said we are to be light and salt. Light brings new ideas and enlightenment where people don't understand. Salt seasons and preserves the good things of life. So let the Holy Spirit lead you to that specific thing you should do to reflect the love and care of the Heavenly Father has for his people. After all, that is why Jesus died on the cross. It was because God so loved the world. Now let us begin reflecting that love both to the Father and to one another in Jesus' name. If you have enjoyed this episode, please join us for In Pursuit of Divine Destiny with Paula Matthews live every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to like and subscribe both to this podcast channel and to our YouTube channel as well. If you would like to partner with us, you can find details on our ministry site, which is www.epicvisionarypartners.org. There's still time to register for the upcoming Apostolic Prayer Force gathering, scheduled for next Monday, June 8th. You can also find details on our ministry site. Again, that address is www.epicvisionarypartners.org. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.